So can I just check that everyone can hear me clearly? Great, thank you. So I hope you got a good night's rest last night and are starting to feel a bit more settled into the space, into our shared space together. So I'd like to start just with a couple of announcements. As you may have noticed, we've lost our central aisle for access to the seats and stuff, and some of us have mobility issues. So what we'd like to suggest is this aisle here and this aisle here are kept clear. So if you have any chairs at the next walking period, if you can move it into the central aisle, that would really help. And just any blankets or mats, if you can just leave enough space so people can access the front. That would really help with our ability to move safely up and down through the hall. We'd also like to offer a posture clinic at 2 o'clock today in the meditation hall here, so for anyone who would like to discuss posture. So that can be the sitting posture, standing posture, reclining posture, whatever would support you in terms of actually your practice. So it's optional, and the three of us will be here at 2 o'clock this afternoon. There won't be a bell, so you'll need to take responsibility to arrive on time. And we'll aim to finish before 2:30, so you've still got time for a break before the next session. Also, to be aware that in the next period, when there's walking, there'll also be, for some people, interview times, so one-to-one meetings with the teacher. And very much we won't be having small group meetings on this retreat, so this is very much an opportunity for us to actually meet you, see how you're doing, get any kind of sense of what support you need, but also for you to ask any questions and get whatever help you need with your practice. So this morning I'd like to look at three qualities that are really supportive with our meditation practice, but also really supportive in daily life practice. Zohar introduced two of those last night in the meditation, grounding and welcoming. And the third one I'd like to look at is spaciousness. So for many of us, we can spend a lot of our time, a lot of our attention, very much in this part of our body. It's almost as if we live a short distance away from our bodies, as we're lost in thoughts, in planning, the past, the future, daydreaming. So with grounding, we're really inviting the movement of our attention to a lower center of gravity, down into our body, to try and anchor our attention in the body and in the present moment. And as we drop the intention down from the head, from the higher regions of the body, down into the depths of the body, it invites a releasing, a surrendering of the tension, of the tendency to hold the body. It invites an easing and a relaxing. And it's important to acknowledge that for some of us, actually, the body can be actually a difficult place. We may have a rather difficult relationship with our body. This could be due to pain, illness, also past trauma. So one of the ways of really supporting this anchoring of the tension of the attention in the body is through the points of contact. For most of us, the points of contact, or at least one of them, will tend to be a rather neutral or okay area of the body. So bringing the attention into the feet, the sensations in the feet, the seat, so the sensations in the sitting bones, in the buttocks, on the seat or the cushion, or also in the hands, so the hands either resting on the thighs or just lightly in your lap on top of each other. Just using those as anchor points to bring us back into the present moment. And you could say that what we do is we cultivate a trust in the earth, in the support of the earth, as a way of bringing balance, as a way of bringing stability. This grounding can really help us to turn to our experience from a more stable and centered space. One of my teachers, Martine Batchelor, talks about how we sit stable as a mountain. This sense of being immovable in the face of the worldly winds. That we are not knocked off balance, we're not overwhelmed, that we have this ground of support, this trust that we can actually turn to and meet our experience. So it can really help at the beginning of a meditation to really get that sense of grounding, to really drop the attention and get that sense of support, of stability from the earth. But also in our daily lives, or at any point in a meditation, if we find ourselves starting to spin off, starting to become overwhelmed, remembering the ground is always there as a point of stability. That when we anchor ourselves in that sensations of the feet, or the seat, or the hands, can really bring a sense of being able to just find a center of stability, of support, from which to be able to meet our experience. Another really important aspect is how we actually relate to what our attitude is to our experience. So our attitude, our relationship to what's arising in the moment, tends to colour or shape our experience of the moment. And this is something to really check out and explore for yourself. When you meet what's arising with welcoming, so with a sense of a warm, friendly interest, with kindness, care, and compassion, how does that impact our experience? How is it different from when we meet our experience with judgment, with harsh criticism, with rejection? So really to explore in your experience, does that make an impact? And the teachings point to the fact that actually it has a profound impact in our experience. That when we can actually meet what's arising from this welcoming, this openness, this sense of kindness, willingness to be there with it, that what it does is, it doesn't add another layer of suffering, of difficulty. So what's often referred to as the second arrow, and Nathan will be talking about that a bit later. This sense that actually when we reject our experience, when we bring harsh judgment and criticism to it, what happens is we actually add another layer of difficulty, another layer of suffering. But also, when we can welcome our experience, it can actually take some of the difficulty, some of the problem out of the experience. There's a sense in actually how it's okay for it to be there. It may still be very difficult, it may still be very challenging, it may still be painful. But actually, we drain a little of the suffering out of it. We give ourselves more space and more care with it, so that it actually feels like it's something we can meet without becoming overwhelmed. So the invitation throughout the day is to really have this intention of meeting your experience with a welcome, with a friendly interest, with a sense of care, of kindness and compassion. And throughout the day, just to notice if you do find yourself in a struggle, notice and just check in, what actually is the attitude you're bringing? Is it a helpful attitude? And if it's not, can you then start to incline the mind to more beneficial and more helpful attitude, an attitude of care, of kindness? And again, this is something we can really bring into our daily lives. This sense that actually if we are struggling, just checking, what's our attitude, what's our relationship to what's happening? And can we shift it? Can we start to incline it to something that actually supports us meeting it with more care and more kindness? And I thought I'd share a little poem from Rumi that really encapsulates this sense of welcoming. And it's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. It may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So this invitation to welcome our experience, both what is delightful, but also what is difficult to bear. Through this grounding and this welcoming, we find this ability to become equally close to all things, from a sense of stability and with kindness. So, one of the things I started to allude to there as well with this welcoming is this sense of opening of perspective, this opening of our awareness. And another quality that can be really helpful is the sense of spaciousness. So this expanding of our attention and this creating of more space. Often what happens, particularly with the difficult, is we tend to contract down around it and become quite limited. We don't have a wider perspective. So what can really help is to create this sense of a wider, more expansive awareness in which this difficulty can be a part of a larger, more seamless whole moment of experience. There's a sense in which it becomes another experience that floats through awareness. So thoughts come and go, sounds arise and pass, sensations come and go. And they're all held in this more expansive, more open awareness. And again, this is something we can cultivate quite consciously in our meditation practice, but it's also a way we can actually respond to something that's arising that's quite difficult. When we notice this sense of contraction, which we'll often sense as a kind of a tenseness in the body, in the mind, a sense of struggle, we can actually start to just open out the attention so it has more space in which to flow, It has more space in which to be held. So the sense of creating a bigger container and a wider perspective. So we can do this in two ways, both formally in practice, but also in daily life. And one is the sense of moving from the ground, from the simplicity of grounding, to a sense of the whole body. So we can almost imagine it like a bubble of awareness around the body. So we have this wider sense of a whole body sitting, breathing. And this can be helpful whatever practice we're doing. If we're doing a loving kindness practice or a body scan or whatever, having this background sense of the whole body. Because we can really attune ourselves then to moments or contractedness arising in the body, those tensions that arise as we start to resist our experience, as we start to get into a push-pull with our experience of wanting to get rid of something and wanting to hold on to or chase after another experience. We can use that sense of the whole body as a way of actually tuning into that and releasing into and opening up to a slightly wider perspective and releasing some of that tension, that contraction. But again, as I said earlier, for some of us, we may have a difficult relationship with the body, and being with the whole body, particularly if there's a lot of pain or trauma, can be quite difficult. So another way we can actually open out this more expansive, more open spaciousness is through sounds. So we can really just allow ourselves to receive the sounds of the world, both within the room, but also opening wider to external sounds outside. And part of what this movement to a more expansive awareness does is it shifts part of our way of looking. We move from a more receptive way of looking. We receive the sensations of the body. We receive the sounds of the world. So rather than actually this tendency to move and always be in movement towards something, there's a sense of being able to rest back, to relax, and just allow experience to arise, to allow experience to come, and to pass through this more spacious, this more open and wider perspective. So the invitation today is to really explore what supports. And if it feels more helpful to really stay with simplicity of points of contact, just really tuning into and cultivating that sense of welcoming, of kindness and compassion, and really just staying with that, then just really allowing that if that's what nourishes. If it feels that actually starting to expand the awareness and move to a slightly more open, wider perspective will support, then to explore that and feel how that uses, how that supports you and nourishes. And of course, it may be a case that you have your own practice that feels very supportive and you just want to follow that rhythm, and that's fine too. But within that, you might find that actually this grounding, this checking in on your attitude, and particularly when things get a bit more difficult, maybe opening that perspective may support actually the meditation practice you do. Yeah, I think I'll stop there. Does anyone have any questions or anything of a practical nature in relation to that? Anything that may not feel very clear? Okay, and just a final thing, if things feel like they're getting too complicated, too there's too much going on, always come back to simplicity. Simplicity of ground, simplicity of actually, what's my attitude? How am I relating to my experience? So if you just want to take a minute to stretch, to move the body, if that feels supportive, then please do, and we'll have a 25 minute or so meditation together. So if you find a comfortable posture, and just really tuning into what's going to be most supportive for the next 25 minutes. So whether that's sitting on the floor, chair, kneeling, standing if that feels it's going to be most supportive, or also reclining. Just really tuning into and checking what's going to support you in being present for the next 25 minutes. And whatever posture you've settled into, just finding a way in which it can support a sense of wakefulness, of alertness, balanced with a sense of relaxation, of ease. And allowing the weight, the holding in the body, just to release to the ground, to the earth. Allowing the earth to support you. And just taking a little time to invite a releasing of any tension in the body. So paying attention to the area around the eyes and the jaw. Allowing the shoulders to drop and open. Relaxing and opening the chest, the heart. The lower back and the belly, just releasing as much as is available to you in this moment, any tension, any holding. And really grounding the attention in the points of contact, that sense of support from the earth. So the sensations in the feet in connection with the earth. Sitting bones on the chair, on the cushion. Maybe the hands resting on the thighs or in your lap. wherever support and anchoring of the attention in the body. And just taking a moment to check in with the mood, the atmosphere in the mind. Noticing what's there. Tiredness, dullness, ease, peace, agitation. Whatever it is, just allowing it to be there. And bring into mind the intention to meet our experience, to welcome all experience. Have a warm, friendly interest. To meet it with kindness, with care, with compassion. So if the simplicity of grounding, contact, body, welcoming, feels nourishing and supportive for you, then you can just allow the next instructions just to be in the background, to ignore them. But if it feels helpful to explore spaciousness, then the invitation is to open the awareness, open the attention to the whole of the body sitting here. Or if it feels more helpful to expand it even further, to receive the sounds of the world. allowing experience to arise and pass in that spacious awareness. Tendency of the mind will be to contract down around some aspect of experience, a sensation, a thought, a feeling. Just noticing that, coming back to ground, and then again just slowly expanding, opening out the awareness. Again and again, we just open the awareness to receive experience with a welcoming, kind attitude. So noticing where the attention is now. Without judgment. Just checking in on your relationship, your attitude towards your experience. Coming back to ground, to welcoming. If it's helpful in expanding the attention, opening the awareness to the whole body, to the sounds. Returning to whatever object of focus you have for this meditation. As the bell rings, can we maintain this sense of grounding of the attention in the body, this welcoming? As we receive the sensations of shifting of posture. So now we're going to have time for a period of movement practice. And to really, again, tune into what's going to be supportive. So for some of you, it may be the more traditional walking meditation. And for others, it may be a posture of sitting or of reclining with movement that's actually most supportive. So I'll say a little bit about both. So with walking meditation, we choose a short path, maybe about 10 or 15 steps, and we just walk backwards and forwards. So we're not actually trying to get anywhere. We're just actually exploring the sensations, the rhythm of walking. And we could see that actually when we move posture like this to walking, we're starting to bring more complexity to our experience. There's more going on. The eyes will be engaged, the sights will be there. There's more going on in the body in terms of the movement. So it actually starts to connect us more with daily life practice. This connection with actually more experience that we have to receive and respond to. So we start at one end and we can just start with a pause, eyes closed, that sense of stillness. And then we just slowly walk. And the pace you choose, again, is something to tune into. Some people like to walk very, very, very slowly and really feel into the sensations. For other people, it's more helpful to walk at just slightly slower than a normal pace. So really check into that. But do slow down a bit so you have that sense of actually giving yourself the space to attend to the sensations of walking. So again, we can use that sense of grounding so we can focus the attention more on the feet, that sense of contact with the earth to really ground the attention. But we can also have a more sense of the whole body moving. Again, just to explore what supports. And also this welcoming attitude is invaluable within the walking meditation as well. So we walk and we reach the end. And again, at the end, just a pause, a movement back into stillness through standing. And also we can, if we like, just open to our environment, particularly if we're outside, the nature, the light, can really just open us a bit more to an expansive sense of awareness. And then when we're ready, just turning and again walking back along the path. So really just exploring the felt experience of what it is to walk with more of our senses engaged. If we're going to do movement practice in the sitting or reclining posture, again, the idea is to actually engage more activity. So to have the eyes open can be really helpful. So we have that sense of visual stimulation as well. But also it can really help if we if possible, have a slightly repetitive, simple movement. So we have that sense of continuity and how things change with that continuity. So it might be as simple as just raising the arms and lowering the arms. And just feeling into the sensations in the body as we raise the arms and lower the arms. It might be actually sitting on the chair and just mimicking walking as we lift and set down our feet. Whatever it is that supports that sense of movement and that engaging with and that exploration of maintaining mindfulness, maintaining our attention as we move. It was raining. I think it might have changed. But again, we have an interesting exploration there. It can be quite interesting to put on a little raincoat and go out into the damp and actually see it as, you know, slightly more challenging conditions. How do we respond to that? How do we welcome actually being outside when it might be a bit damp, maybe a bit cool, but engaging with conditions that we might not consider ideal? How do we meet those? But also we can choose to do the practice inside. So there's the walk-in room. If we have a single room, we can use our rooms. And we can also use the corridors and hallways. But please, if you are using a corridor or a shared space, just to be aware that other people may need to get past. So really allowing space for others to pass and move in the space.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.